Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
BlackAthlete.com, that's where it's at. From Jackie Robinson, Muhammad Ali, to Michael Jordan and Shaq, football, basketball, baseball, and everything in between. We focus on all the major players and stories. Daily features, video on demand, and Black Athlete newspapers coming to a city near you. Tired of the same old sports programming? Check out BlackAthlete.com. Sports the way you like it.
my birds to keep moving on. But MEAZ governs Delaware, Beyonce, but CAA has Colonial Athletic governs. At halftime, it's Oral Roberts 30, San Jose State 25. At halftime, the Missouri Valley, it was Northern Iowa upsetting Wichita State 32-21 at halftime. Missouri Valley upset. And Northern Iowa beat Wichita State. I think it was another top seed in the NCAA. Okay, I'm going to go at 646-727-3349. Basketball day, and you know, basketball heaven over here. And the tournament's all over the country. Wednesday news, FredGuy.com or North19ATD.net. Our sponsors are New Life Bruce Bergen at the Liberty Street, Upstate, California, 510-235-1233. New England Informer, Dorian Wade, CEO of Boston, Massachusetts. You can take her out on Sunday afternoon with Sounds by the Radio. Now by radio, WVON 1090. With Anita Jackson Jones, reporter roundtable. This is WVON Online. Right before me, Michael Lewis Ingram and BSN Soul Radio The Raw. And every rare for the day. He's got a weak heart. Don't come up in here. Don't come up in here because he'll get you. Michael Lewis Ingram and the Soul Patrol. 718-508-9216. Got to get that Philly group on with the Soul Patrol. And my second home, WCLM Online, RadioOnline.com. With Calvin Reggie, Professor Tony Cobb, the G-Man, Glenn Brown, and CIAA, All-Fame Coach, Lou Anderson. He was raised at HBCU News. Calvin comes here today. WCM and WCM Online. You get it right. WDMRadioOnline.com. The art and soul of Richmond. Can't forget Pat Freeman up in Buffalo, New York. The mighty Oba or WUFO. 1080 Buffalo, New York. And we always remember Roller Rogers CEO, BSN, New York City, New York. And the family of BS and writers and broadcasters. We can't forget 707, which will be in here today too, 607-609. Congratulate to her Anthony Iris. And we can't forget the A&T Aggie. They're the men's upset. They're the final game of the MIA. We'll get to that later. And the Aggies upset on Friday. So they're a battle game today. Winner goes to the NCAA. Surprise, surprise.
Tune into One Love Radio on Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with your hosts Rhonda Harper and Imani Wilmers on blogtalkradio.com.
Radio.com. Look up because it changes the day and the times. You gotta check out Rhonda Harper.
If you're looking for real talk on sports, politics, and other important issues, tune in to The Bachelor Pad every Monday through Friday beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. L.A. Bachelor and Tony McClain look to enlighten, empower, and educate people on the topics that people are talking about, but discuss them from a social, economical, and racial standpoint. It's sports, breaking news, updates, politics, great guests, and music in between. It's The Bachelor Pad every Monday through Friday beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Listen at www.thebachelorpad.biz. That's www.thebachelorpad.biz. Follow us at facebook.com/padnation and at Pad for Truth on Twitter. That's at Pad4Truth.
Check out In Our Opinion with Southern Eagle and Steel City Storm each Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, dude, stop with the lectures, stop with the threats. Be a human being, let the guy go up there and say goodbye, for God's sake.
Rick Pocket is another one. He pounded me probably about 4 or 5 times in my career. I never want to fight Cam Neely, never want to fight.
And I knew with the power that I possessed, well, I could tear a man zero. Again, only in theory because I've never done it yet.
How do you punish an Amish kid? Make him watch TV for 2 hours?
Sports talk, sports talk, sports talk. The way it was meant to be.
Every team has a chance to win. case anybody could get in. Many baseballers take a cue and understand why it's so popular. Yeah, baseball, even the world has caught up with us, and the Americans lost last night to Puerto Rico. What's that tell you? What's that tell you? It's America's game, and they can't even win. It's America's game, baseball, and they can't win their own world championships. What did I tell you? Okay? And for those of you who want to hate the players, you know, the owners of football, baseball, whatever, can cut a player anytime. When a player goes for the money, everybody's agree with it. Wait a minute. If Peyton Manning can be cut by the Indianapolis Colts, what are you talking about? But order because the player is not a guaranteed contract. So when a player goes for the money, I don't blame him. I do the same thing. Hey, Baltimore, are you listening? You gave Joe Flacco one of the biggest, fattest contracts in history. Meanwhile, you let 8 players walk out of your team. I'll tell you what, the Ravens have a hard time getting in the playoffs. I mean, look, Tom Brady understands the game. Tom Brady gets that contract, right? What does Tom Brady do? He defers his payment until 2 years down the line. So New England Patriots are allowed to get new team, new players. Flacco took all the money and left Baltimore hanging. Therefore, the Ravens better not even get the playoffs after winning the Super Bowl. Does that make sense? Anyway, let's move on. Tuesday. Another Raven, Antoine Bolden, goes from coast to coast, and from brother to brother, he goes from Baltimore to San Francisco. A good move on his part. And now he can be one of the rare back-to-back Super Bowl winners with different teams. Only Deion Sanders can claim that. Ex-Raider nominee Asamoah was released, and also the Eagles released Cromartie. And I don't know what the Eagles are doing. They had no defense whatsoever. Eagles get 30 points a game, and the Eagles cannot blame Michael Vick for that. You got to hold him down to win. The Eagles are doing all over again on defense. They nominate Asamoah and Roman Cromartie go. The Seahawks got Percy Harvin, Nicky Bates, and David Niners. Now, there's a real battle brewing between the Niners and the Seattle Seahawks. This will be the best two teams in the NFC, with the Seahawks getting Percy Harvin, 2 days ago, 1-2 in the playoffs this year. No injuries, barring injuries. Tony Gonzalez plays of the year. For Atlanta, he comes back out of retirement. He comes back, which is a good thing. I like Tony. He's a former Cal Bear Berkeley. Gonzalez plays one more year for the Atlanta Falcons. Now, my Oakland Raiders are the laughing stock of the AFC West Division. They go from bad to worse. They released 3 more Al Davis players. Darius Ayers Bay, Michael Huff, and David Thompson, which is all of Davis' defensive picks. And now they are officially the worst team in the AFC West Division. Miami Dolphins on Wednesday picked Mike Wallace from Pittsburgh Steelers. And that was a good thing for Miami Dolphins. And Mike Wallace will give the quarterback other options. Another Raven leaves down as Paul Kruger. Will be the Cleveland Browns. And Cleveland Browns are slowly becoming a real powerhouse in the Northern Division. Ray will become a TV host for ESPN. That was on Wednesday. And Ray Lewis is the oddest man. I want to see how the mouse react to his honesty with the mouth and the agenda of black players. Ray Ray will not react to kindly. I'm telling you now, he is behaving, but I know what he's doing. Melinda Walker of the Niners that he got out with Tennessee Titans. And Melinda needs to get out of that because he wasn't being used. And he needs a new team. Wes Walker, this is a surprise on Thursday. Wes Walker leads the New England Patriots. That was Tom Brady's security blanket. And he goes to Denver for Peyton Manning, which is a similar mode quarterback. He'll be happy at home. And Denver now has become the best team in the AFC West Division. And Kansas City improves as they get Alex Smith, quarterback for the Niners. And like I said, the Raiders are doing absolutely nothing. Absolutely, positively nothing in this free agency. Jennings goes to Minnesota and has to go for Minnesota. And Ponder, now he has a receiver that can catch balls in Minnesota. There was an incident, the NFL Rules Committee. They change the rules of football a little bit. One is the tuck rule, which I never liked to begin with. The tuck rule is a fumble. A fumble is a fumble. Why do you have a tuck rule? And 11 years ago, in the AFC Championship, in the snow in New England, the tuck rule caused the Raiders a chance to go to the Super Bowl. And many Raider fans have not forgotten. Good news in the National Hockey League. As we remember, we'll proceed next year with 4 divisions and 2 wild cards. It's geographically Saturn, meaning the devils in North Jersey, Rangers in the Garden, the Islanders at Barclays Center, and the Flyers in South Philadelphia. It's going to be a real knockdown, drag-out battle next year between those four teams. It's going to be fun. And see that it's a little far. Okay, more money. As the SEC gets their old football network contract. Now, I wonder what CBS Sports is going to do, because they used to carry it for 14 years, they carried SEC football. Now, SEC got their own station. We will see. It's Friday. You need homework? Did you support Black business? Did you buy a flag today? If not, that's your homework for next week. Last night, there was a little rumble in the Southwest LA Conference finals. Prairie View, got involved with some local locals. And that was what was Garland, Texas. One person was arrested, a minor arrested, but it doesn't bode well for that strength NWAC conference. And it doesn't bode well for the college controlling their alumni and students. And you know the NCAA is going to look for it again. So you know, Prairie View, Grambling, Southern, they had to control that stuff. Because now it's time the NCAA is looking. Like I said, the United States loses that night to Puerto Rico, and this is America's game. It's lost twice now. It's the second time. Canada won, and Japan won, and we're not going to win again this year. If you get the right players to play the game, you can win this game. No, America should win this game every 3 years. There's no excuse for this. That night, the Lakers win. Lakers win without Kobe Bryant. It'd be Indiana 99-93. And this is what Lakers fans were looking for months ago. LeBron James and Miami Heat. Number 21. And the question is going to be held. When is LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and Miami ever going to lose? And they beat the Milwaukee Bucks 107-94. And it wasn't even close. As the East continue to roll extend their lead in the East. Nobody gonna touch them. As we take a break. Thank you. New York. Yeah, New York. I'm going to go over the NCAA. We got a lot of ground to cover on the NCAA because games are all over the place. But first, we got to introduce you to this year in the place. Let the games begin. Yeah, all weekend long from coast to coast, wall to wall, all the way until midnight Eastern time. Take your pick. All across the country, you got it. On the men's side, Indiana got beat today, so I don't know where I'm gonna go because Wisconsin beat them early. Gonzaga, the Zags, the West Coast Conference regular season and tournament winner, got number one seed, deservingly got number one seed in the country, Missouri Valley. The Blue Jays with strong defense, Creighton, they won the Missouri Valley tournament and regular season. Wichita State, it will be dancing, but we don't know where to go. The Pac-10, the Bears, the Berkeley Bears, that disappointed me last night. And Utah upset the Golden Bears in overtime. So, the Ducks, at the end, it'll be the Ducks against the UCLA Bruins later on. And Ducks will win this tournament because the UCLA lost their star guard with a broken leg at the last play of the game. Beat Dan, we already talked about Wisconsin beat Indiana. And the Michigan State, a lot of the game will be later on today. Big East. Syracuse beat Georgetown. And the last game, every last game ever for the Big East Conference, as we know it, but Louisville and Syracuse, it'll be bringing up the conference, it'll be an all Catholic conference in 2014. So no more Nick Dean. Team Big East. All these Big East teams will go all over the place next year. On the women's side, Stanford with its 10th title in a row. I mean, these guys. Darren Vandermeer wins its 10th in a row as they beat UCLA, Lady Bruins. They've either won the outright title or won the tournament 10 straight years in a row. I think the California Golden Lady Bears might challenge them in the coming years. They're a good team. But we shall see. On Tuesday, Skylar Diggins, who's getting a lot of ink now because he's Notre Dame star. And they beat the Lady Huskies of UConn, which is very outstanding. And they will most likely be number one in the East in the women's side. And they beat UConn 61-59 in the championship game of the Big East. It also could be the end of an era for Gene Vivian Stringer, Rutgers, New Jersey University. Stringer brought three teams to the NCAA Final Four, and no ghost has ever done that. So my hat goes off to Madam G. Vivian Stringer and the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. Wish her well with her family. And it could be the end of the era with the University of Tennessee. Volunteers, University of Connecticut, Huskies, and the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. The last of the old school standing is the Stanford Cardinal. All these programs have been strong. Lady Gonzaga, Lady Bulldogs, riding a 15-minute streak. Nobody knows because out west, East Coast bias. Ladies, they go in San Diego Toros, they beat the Toros 65-50, and move on to the NCAA. This is the second wave of the new kids on the block for ladies. Lady Bulldogs, the Baylor Bears with Griner, these are all the new kids on the block. Last, before I get to the HBCUs, it's Missouri Valley Ladies. Lady Blue Jays and the Redbirds play today. And the Zuckers, I think that game should be over. I got a bad score between Northern Iowa and Wichita State. It should be about done now. And at halftime, it was Northern Iowa 32, Wichita State 21. Which would be a big upset if that happens in the Missouri Valley Conference. So, we got Reggie Howe for the H&M. Get him in here so we can talk some HBCU.
What's up, HG? How you doing, my friend?
Good.
Well, always Gary the Leprechaun doing a great job, my man. Shout out to my man Mike Ingham. And always doing a great job. But Gary, right now, T-Max, last time I heard that the Hampton Pirate ladies were up by, I think, 15 points. So we're trying to get with him to find out what's going on.
No, but Red. Hampton won that game.
So Hampton won it? Good. Well,
they won by 30 points.
That's a relief because the men should have dropped the ball.
Yeah, they won by 30 points.
Yeah, but I tell you, Gary, you know, the thing that saddens me, I was in Norfolk Wednesday, and if you did not know that there was a NEAC tournament there, Norfolk did a poor job. You hear me? A poor job of really advertising that game. Now, they might did a great job on radio, maybe on the Hampton Pirates radio network on 88.1 that Mitch Lane does. But I'm telling you, I was there. And around the Scope Coliseum, there were no signs saying welcome NEAC fans. There's McDonald's and a Popeye right there on the billboard out there where they have their little advertisement on the board tell you what price items are. Only place I saw was Kentucky Fried Chicken some 5 miles away that say welcome NEAC fans. I mean, no signs saying this way to the Scope, no signs saying welcome, no buses, billboards riding around. And, you know, to me, I don't know if the NEAC didn't put their foot down. I don't know if they really pushed Norfolk or they just rely on word of mouth. And if that's the case, you know, then, well, I will say former Commissioner Curtis, CIAA, did point out there were over 10,000 strong at the Norfolk and the Bethune-Cookman game, which Norfolk lost, and it was a packed house. Okay, that's fine and dandy, but where is your disposable income? These people already live in the area. So you're not really getting no extra bang for your buck.
Right.
So what do they do in order to give people from, say, South Carolina State, Florida A&M, North Carolina A&T, for that fact, you got Coffin State and also Morgan playing the championship against North Carolina A&T. Where was the love for those people? If they did not know their way around, they couldn't find the scope. So I'm really disappointed as far as the lack of effort to embrace the MEAC down in Norfolk. By the way, they have a home office down in Norfolk, which I don't understand.
Well, I think that the alumni has to do a better job too.
I agree.
Let me give you an example of what happened years ago at my conference.
Yes, sir.
The Missouri Valley Conference was in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the Midwest.
Yes, sir.
And they were losing teams like Louisville, Memphis State, St. Louis University, North Dakota State were all leaving the conference. Well, what happened was they got another president, a president of the conference.
Yes, sir.
And he said, each school is responsible for promoting the Missouri Valley Conference tournament. And ever since that new president came in, the Missouri Valley Conference is one of the biggest conferences in the Midwest for all schools. That's what I get with the NCAA and the MEAC has to do. Each school is going to be responsible for X number of promotions to get people to the game.
Basically, he's talking about economic disposable income. The office didn't want to do it. He put the onus on the schools to use their resources in order to do it. Basically, that's what it boils down to, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. I mean, basically, he's too darn lazy to do the work himself or what they're getting paid for, represent the conference.
What's the role of the government president?
Okay, to lead the conference.
Okay.
You know, to show by example.
What's the role of the school? See, when you have schools in Northern Iowa, Kentucky, Tennessee, Illinois, Ohio, they're far apart. It's very difficult for them to have a meeting. So all these schools are all across the country. So I think it was everybody did right. And it should be easier for the MEAC and the swing because they're closer together.
Well, I mean, Gary, again, you know, that's why I really get frustrated with the HBCUs because you've made an excellent point about why we don't go ahead and have our own championships. But, again, we had it back in the day in football, the Pioneer Bowl down there in Georgia.
Yeah.
But they had McDonald's was one of the sponsors. Now, we all know that black folks keep McDonald's in business. I mean, we are the fast food when it comes to consumer. Let's just play what it is. You want the fast food, throw that bad boy in the ghetto, and we'll use that bad boy as a bank. You know, we'll come withdraw product each and every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the sad thing about it is that we don't use our economic leverage. I mean, because we are consumers, you know, and the people know you're consumers. They will constantly let you consume, and bring nothing back to your community. That's why we're hurting so bad.
Yeah. It's gonna be very interesting to see how they another thing is when the NCAA sees these teams, there could be four teams from HBCUs that go to tournaments. I wonder how many of the four teams are going to be playing games.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you, we have Mark Gray on, who used to work for the Fuller Network, a.k.a. The Mouse. We know what we're talking about, because no fair shot.
Right.
Yeah. You know, we ain't give no love here because it's just the craziness what they do.
Right.
But the sad thing about it is that really angers me about the whole thing, the whole situation and everything, that we have a situation right now, in my humble opinion, that when it comes to these schools and everything, and Mark Gray told us point blank that they have people in the tournament that do not want to put HBCU schools on a national stage as well as the big bands. They do not want to see the bands. They don't want to see the camaraderie. They don't want to see how HBCUs have their own culture and development. And just say that a young man in Brooklyn sees a Southern University where the band is jamming, the cheerleaders are doing the dance and everything.
Right.
Hey, he might not want to go to the European school. He said, well, hey, let me go ahead and check out this HBCU school and get a culture. And they don't want to see that image up there. And Lord have mercy, when Norfolk State beat Missouri last year, they lost their mind. I mean, if you remember the players from Missouri, they were angry. They were pissed. And these were the black players.
Well, I
mean, they were literally upset because they lost to Norfolk State. They couldn't take it.
I want to see what they're gonna do with the Amherst Lady's because they have won 20 games in a row.
Yeah.
Undefeated conference. Now, I want to see what they're gonna do with these ladies.
Well, I hope they get to host some games. That's what I'm hoping for. If they can host some games, that means it'll be on TV, the revenue.
Yeah.
And also you get to see the when they do those different schools, when they show, at the commercials, and they show, like, this is Hampton University, and then they show the diversity, they show the campus on their water. You see them on the national stage, you might get a young lady that might say, hey, I'm not going to go to DePaul. Let me go check out Hampton. You might have a young lady say, I'm not going to go to Maryland. Let me come out here and check out, John C. Smith and the other schools.
Imagine what Skylar Diggins is going to be at Morgan.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Skylar Diggins is going to go to Hampton or A&T. I mean, Skylar Diggins is one of the best black players in the NCAA, and he went to Notre Dame.
Yes, sir. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I might be a little prejudiced, but I'm hoping Morgan State beats North Carolina A&T. I'm not going to make Aggie Nation mad, but they got a couple of twin tower 7-footers on there.
Yeah.
If I say, Coach Beard, you got to sit your son down. Your son is killing you. I mean, you sit your son down, you guys got a chance to win. I mean, his son is okay, but, I mean, right now his son is killing him. This ain't Coach Carter, where his son can play basketball. He got to sit down. He can play some segments, but, I mean, this is for all the marbles. And I'm hoping, again, that the people up there at Morgan will take care of this Coach Beard. Because he has some blemishes on his personal life, but this will be a Christian nation. This will be a forgiving nation, and they need to let the past go because a man is making young boys into men. And I put emphasis into men, and they need to look at the great work. As a matter of fact, Gary, he's getting underpaid. This man was working his third NEAC championship, and he's underpaid compared to the other people in the conference.
What happened at the Prairie View Ladies game? I got a little bit. What happened down there?
Okay, well, it was the Prairie View and Jackson State Ladies game where they had the pep bands and people come and travel and try to support their teams. Well, we talked to Dr. Cavell Phillips today on my show, and what Doc was saying was that his reports were that they had some people who alleged were either former football players or either play football for Prairie View, but over there trying to give the ladies from Jackson a hard way to go.
Mm.
And, Marvin all of a sudden comes into a little in-your-face, and in-your-face goes up laying hands on people. Well, the security and the police responded quickly, made some arrests, and now the person that seems to be a former football player from Prairie View is being held for questioning. Now, whether he gets arrested, I don't know.
Okay.
But they said that, but the commissioner of the conference said that, they're going to review the tape, and they said basically that, the players of my own business, it was the guy that was a former football player, Prairie View, that facilitated the confrontation. So that's what they're trying to work out right now. But still, it's an ugly stain. We don't need this right now because, this is a national stage. Anything negative with the HBCU, they want to blow it up.
Yeah, and the NCAA,
look at animals, they're crazy. And one thing I want to say that on a sad note, there's been reports already because of HBU that some ladies of AK sorority at Howard University are suing the chapter of AKA. And basically what it is that is called a legacy. A legacy means that you have family members who are already members of the sorority. Well, basically the lawyer for the complainants were on the Tom Joyner Morning Show this past Friday. And the sad thing about it, now, some things Tom Joyner do, I respect. Some things I totally do not respect. Yeah, you raise money for HBCU, and that's fine and dandy. But yet when the lawyer stood right there and said that AKs don't even know their own bylaws, don't even know their rules and regulations. And Tom Joyner is attacking the guy verbally, saying, you're trying to bring the sorority down, you're trying to bring the sorority down. And it's really sad. As a matter of fact, Tom Joyner, he made a comment that real cues take wood, which means they get their butts beat on the paddle. Now, I'll be the first one to say that I'm not a Greek. I went to the Marine Corps. My late father was an Eldridge Diggs recipient of the Kappa Alpha Psi. And they know that's like the second highest award in the Kappa fraternity. And I have late uncles and family members who are Qs. And I know some few Zetas. I know some few Deltas. I have family members who are Deltas. So I've been around Greeks all my life. But, when you hear the horror stories, I say the young man who went to Desert Storm, he comes back and pledged, and he's laying his own blood comes out of his ear because he tried to pledge a fraternity, and now he's dead. When we see the situation and down in Florida where a person that was a med student ended up beating a young man to death, and now he's in jail.
Right.
I mean, again, right now you've seen some fraternities where they have losses up in the millions. We're talking about $5, $10 million where they could shut the chapters down because of lawsuits, because of foolishness. And I said before that when you have certain elements of your fraternity sororities who come from a culture of gang-like mentality, like I got in trouble with a friend of mine, I said, now, you look at the fraternities and sororities, they're no different than gangs. And gang, you have a certain handshake, a certain colors, a certain initiation. It's no different than pledging. Now, when you have certain elements that come in from that gang mentality that comes into the sorority fraternities,
right,
then you have a major problem.
Well, I was at Southern Illinois University, University of Indiana, had a pledge of the campus.
Yes, sir.
The campus had a 9-9 pledge.
Yes,
sir. The pledge had a grave, a lady grave, open grave.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happened was, they dug a grave 2-0, and when they went in, the grave collapsed, and three of the five brothers died in the dirt because they couldn't get them out. The chapter was suspended for 2 years at University of Indiana.
Mm-hmm. And that's where the home where Cap MSI was made, in Indiana. That's where they were founded. So,
and these boys were 16, 17, 18 years old. And they knew the guys for their stupidness.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I like about the Groove 5 Grooves, when my cousin was at Hampton back in the 70s, and those guys was cool. I like the Groove 5 Grooves, man. I said, man, when I go to camp, I'm going to play this. But they weren't on campus. That's why I couldn't play.
they're the educators. Groove 5 Grooves were the educators.
They would
go to the party early. They leave early, too.
Yes, sir. They go early, but they go back and study and move forward and keep it moving.
Yeah.
But Big G, I apologize for taking up all your time. I know you're getting ready to shut it down, my man. But I was going to say you're doing a great job, my man, Big G.
Thank you, bro. Thank you, bro. And that's Calvin Reggie with WCLM 14 in the Richmond, Virginia. Art and soul of Richmond, Virginia. Let me get Philadelphia. Philadelphia group right here. Philadelphia. Come on here, my losing room.
What's up, brother? How you doing, Jake?
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yes, indeedy, in the house.
You guys were a real serious conversation about Philadelphia today. And, I was just listening to the conversation, and it's very interesting that a white media, can do and say almost anything and not get suspended or fine, or neither the above.
Well, Gary, you brought it up a long time ago. You know, the issue of white privilege extends itself far beyond the uttering of those words. You know, there's a lot of meaning to that. There's an impression, an implication that anything can be done, and they will make their argument for it being okay, you know, regardless of how egregious it is, you know. Now, and I say this not looking to be inflammatory, but look, when those babies were murdered in Connecticut.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody was up in arms.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and no parent, whatever color, should ever have to bury a child.
Ain't no doubt about that.
But on the real, as painful as that was, when black kids were dying every day, we didn't hear peep. And it was because it didn't mean as much to folks. It wasn't pronounced as much. And that was part of the dialogue, you know, in this effort by Philly Magazine in expounding on what it meant to be white in Philly.
Yeah.
They were truly speaking about privilege.
Yeah.
We can't do the things that we used to, you know. Is these Negroes all over the place doing this stuff now, you know. You know, and the coded language that comes from it. You know, this was straight up, you know, no, we're white. We don't like the fact that we have to live with y'all. We have a problem with it. We don't want y'all around. You're responsible for all the drugs and your men walk around without jobs and doing time and just acting a fool on the streets. They never look into the root causes of what created this whole nonsense in the first place, which is what you cats were doing.
Michael, I've been saying this for the last 4 years.
For sure.
I'll say it again. Until the United States of America sits down at the table and have a real discussion about race.
Mm-hmm.
You will never get over it. And let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. This past 3 weeks,
mm-hmm.
I had to deal with a wheelchair company in Berkeley.
Right.
Now, this company ran me around for God knows how long. I call every day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you would think that they would do every effort to accommodate a disabled with a wheelchair.
Sure.
They did absolutely, positively nothing. It didn't get ugly. Okay, you want to play games? I'm gonna get a lawyer. Why can't you do the right thing? Why can't America do the right thing? And then it goes right back to slavery again. The three.
Well, you have to be more. You know, to your point, it's because America's never done the right thing. I'll rephrase. America has only done the right thing when a gun was put to its head. Whether that gun be metaphorical or whether it be real, they've never done anything until a gun was put to their head. And in the case that you just talked about, you know, you weren't a prominent enough man for them to take action. If you had been Stephen Hawking, you would have got a chair real quick.
I'm glad you brought it up. Six years ago, Christopher Reeves, God bless him. He ordered his bull ride wheelchair, the same day I ordered my bull ride wheelchair.
Right.
He got his wheelchair in 2.5 to 3 weeks.
Oh, I know that's right.
I got my wheelchair in 2.5 months.
Mm-hmm. You ain't Superman.
That tells you where we're at. Look, the hierarchy in every coalition is a hierarchy.
Yep.
I didn't believe that until I what is this? You know, I was like,
and I know, you know, I wasn't trying to be facetious when I said that, but this is part of a bigger problem. This whole issue in Philadelphia spirals elsewhere, and we touched on it briefly on Social Radio and the Raw, how it affects Detroit because of how the city is perceived. You know, who knows how much money Philly will lose because some redneck had to get his thing on and blast the city and all those troublesome Negroes in it in a piece called Being White in Philly, and that they were cowards enough to not just make one cover but make two, so that those who didn't know about Philly and how bad the racial segregation was there would get a different view because they had another cover subheading that they would put out to those who weren't informed. Now, that, to me, is about as, you know, duplicitous as you can get, because it shows that the management at the editorial level clearly knew what they were doing, so they made a point of making these two covers, you know, so that they would stray from those who would take them to task on this, because there would be a whole bunch of other folks who wouldn't know what the hell was going on. Like, why are they making all this fuss about this? That's not the cover I saw, you know. So it's one of the oldest tricks in the publishing game, you know, to do double covers like that. But that they went and did it like this on the heels of such an explosive topic is the issue.
Well, also, what I've learned is that Mayor Nutter,
mm-hmm.
said, okay, what's the deal with it? And he put on the desk. Asked them, what do you mean by this article? I don't like this article. You need to apologize immediately.
See, the issue with Mayor Nutter, though, Gary, is the fact that Nutter was forced to doing something. Any other time, he'd have let that lay. Now, I read his response, and I think it was a combination of him being ward of all Philadelphians, but it was also the response from a black man basically saying, what the hell is wrong with you saying some crap like this?
Yeah.
You know, you know that you know some of the stuff you said wasn't true, and it was biased because you didn't have any balance in the argument,
right,
because you don't have any black people on your editorial staff.
Right.
You know, you don't have anybody who in that smoke-filled room when you were deciding what was going to be in the magazine.
Yeah.
You didn't run it by enough folks. And even the folks, when they came out and you had people on your own staff say, we're not with this, it never stopped you from running it. So there was never any ethics involved. It was an agenda that the people on the editorial staff of Philly Mag wanted to do.
Yeah.
They did it, and they carried it on with impunity because they realized that they were going to catch maybe some flack, but they didn't give a rat's ass because they knew exactly what they were going to do, and they didn't care about who responded to it.
Yeah. It's again that privilege card once again.
It's another reminder also of how we can't get caught up in the dynamic of how our country is laid out. You know, traditionally it's always been the South where, you know, the racial animus supposedly, breeded in and stuff like that. And,
it's all over.
And especially in areas like Philly, Boston, you know, there are some areas and still sections of these cities where the necks are just as red, if not redder, than anything that you could find in the South, you know, or that Southern caricature, how it would be perceived. So, you know, that crap is alive and well, and it is not relegated to just one specific part of our country.
Well, okay, I have a question for you then. What will President Obama do? Because the way I see this is, once Obama leaves office, the issue of race will never get answered ever again.
Well, not fairly. People won't talk about it. I mean, come on, Eric Holder brought it up in the first administration when he said we were all cowards when it came to race. I mean, that's true. But they punished Holder for saying that indirectly by compromising his position as attorney general, trying to get him impeached on some contrived crap that they made up. And here's the most sinister part of all this, and I'm using the word sinister because it means and is exactly what they did. Eric Holder had the makings of being a Supreme Court judge.
It is.
And they knew that given time, if he made a second term, one or more of those old farts on the Supremes could be vulnerable. And, of course, if there's an Obama presidency, somehow he's going to get through someone whose line, whose political leanings and translation of the Constitution, et cetera, and other issues would be more in tune with keeping what's already there, especially with issues like abortion, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Holder, in that vein, would have been perfect. He's old enough and young enough at the same time, and he would follow a pattern consistent with the hirings of Kagan and Sotomayor
right.
to the court, where there would be some flavor. And the first black male since Thurgood Marshall. Notice who I omitted in that statement. But having said that, I said the first black man. but having said that, and I don't care about black people being conservative, you know, what he did and the things that he did.
Right.
He did that on the backs of black people. That is why I have no respect for Clarence Thomas. But I don't want to get away from where you started with this. Holder had very much the look of a Supreme Court judge. And remember what Bush did?
Mm-hmm.
Remember what Bush did with the hirings of Alito and Roberts to the court? He did that so that the court would be protected from the right in the right's mind for the next 30 years. Roberts is a Supreme Court justice. He's in his early 50s. Alito's not much older or younger than him. So they are holding up the Scalia, Rehnquist, whatever legacy of the right side of the court.
Yeah.
Exactly. And of course, you know, again, Holder would have been a perfect choice. But now, you know, he's been co-opted to some degree because just like we saw the Republicans do Chuck Hagel and would have been Ambassador Rice to the Secretary of State, we know that they'll pull out all the stops to stop any effort to put forth a Supreme Court ascendancy of Holder or someone like him.
I have a football question.
All right.
Emmett Smith.
I know where you're going. Mm-hmm.
And my view is, you know, the NFL, what are they doing with this rule? This is the worst linear rules I've ever seen in all my days.
Well, it's not so much silly as it's like, you know, this is a WTF moment brought to life. It's like from the time kids were playing peewee ball and you're taught the position of running back, the first thing they tell you is put your head down and run into the line.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's about as fundamental as, you know, you put one foot right after the other and then you walk. And now they're going to try to say with a straight face that we need to change this rule because the game has become too whatever, you know.
But
and Emmitt Smith is basically saying, are y'all out of your mind? Mm-hmm.
My thing is, how can you run with football with your head up? I never see anybody run with football with your head up.
Sure.
It goes beyond geometry, and it goes beyond physics.
Mm-hmm.
So what are they talking about?
Listen, there's no way that they can unteach in a short span of time behavior that has gone on for generations in football. Now, there's always modifications you can make, like with the so-called tuck rule.
I know, brother.
I know that's exactly the subject right there. But to take away an element like, you know, you can't lower your head when you're running. What the hell is he supposed to do? He get his hair torn off by a 6'4", 260-pound sack monster. When if he puts his head down, that swing of his head will be alleviated, and he can surge forth for whatever offensive yards he can gain. Now, Goodell is espousing his fears about the players being stronger and faster, et cetera, and that one day, God forbid, somebody will die, you know, on prime time, you know, on nationally televised game because they got hit too hard and got hit in the wrong spot at the right time.
Hey, hey, look, but, look, we have bomb rules for the quarterback already. How far are we going to go with this thing?
Exactly. We do have poom-poom rules for the quarterback, and, you know, those rules never should have been put in play. If you're paid the cost to be the boss, you got to pay the price as well.
Thank
and
you.
That means somebody knocks the stuffing out of you, that's football. You don't understand what the deal is with your responsibility and position, don't play it. You know?
They want to protect their pretty boys.
People collide.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They want to protect their pretty boys. They want to protect their pretty boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that it's not going to work like that, bro. But
yeah.
I think if they don't make enough noise about this immediately, it will become a problem. You know?
See,
it changes the nature of the game, and football simply just won't be football. And I think more and more people are turned off by it because even with the relaxing of rules that hinder the defense more,
right.
You know, it's just straight up and down, you know, running across the field and whatnot. You're not touching anybody. You're taking away the defensive aspects of the game.
Right.
That's not football. Eventually, people will get tired of it and they won't want to watch it.
Nothing about your program and what you do and where you're going to be at on the air. Give you a little promo.
Mm-hmm.
Give you a little promo and what you do and stuff. Get a gold caravan and want to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Michael.
Yes, sir.
Could you tell the audience what you do and what your program will be next week?
Well, again, the show is Soul Tree Radio in the Raw. We are on Saturdays right before Gary, 2 to 4 Eastern, 11 to 1 your time. And as we speak on these issues, there was one that we tried to turn into decisive action. From the Oscar program where the young lady, the little actress, Kovajene Wallace, was up for an award, some creeps from The Onion, which describes itself as a satirical newspaper. Some representatives of that paper called Ms. Wallace a word which rhymes with hunt. And I thought to be a 9-year-old girl and have someone sexualize you in such a manner was totally disgusting. The NAACP never said anything.
I know.
The National Association of Black Journalists never said anything. You know, we didn't hear any kind of irate response from anyone. And even though the CEO from The Onion apologized, it was one of those, well, you know, if we offended anybody numbers. So the damage was already done. So rather than stay angry about it, I decided to go on change.org and put up a petition. And that petition speaks directly to the issue at hand. As I've started the petition, since it's just in its early stages, it needs X number of signatures for it to be picked up nationally. And Gary, if your audience will indulge me, I want to read what the petition is.
And I'm
reading the words verbatim so that everybody understands that I'm not trying to be deliberately profane here.
Okay.
Excuse me. This is the petition. The Onion letter, the Onion newsletter and Twitter, terminate those responsible for the Wallace Oscar tweet at The Onion. The dehumanization of any child is a travesty. The actions of the people who went on Twitter and called Oscar nominee Kovajene Wallace a cunt did so willingly in an atmosphere of perceived acceptance that they could say anything they wanted. The word has no value or humor, especially when used as reference to a 9-year-old girl. when you consider they could have called Wallace a brat or a rotten kid or diva if they were attempting to be humorous, the lack of respect shown by the Onion can in no way be translated as anything but bad judgment when that pejorative became their word of choice. The names of the person or persons responsible should be made public, and then they should be terminated from their positions. Being part of the media, these people know what words can do, so their responsibility levels should match their knowledge in being able to differentiate between humor and outright disrespect. The new journalism translation of if we have offended anyone, then here's the apology is simply not enough. The power to defame should be matched by the responsibility to be respectful, especially to children. As of right now, I have 79 supporters. I need 21 more signatures so that this will get picked up by change.org and go nationwide to everywhere where change.org has access. And I'm asking Code Caravan as well to please, if this meets with your favor, please go on to the Soul Tree Radio in the Raw page on Facebook, where you will see the petition. There should be one on the Great Upper Cove page as well that you can click on and sign. So either one is fine. Please just sign and let them understand that to the most vulnerable of us, and in many ways, this is an extension of something that my colleague Bobby Booker talked about. This is cyberbullying. That wasn't profane. During the campaign, a black reporter who said, in his opinion, that Mitt Romney didn't like black people when he made an appearance, got fired. They let him go immediately. Even though he apologized, they let him go immediately. You know? And he was, it may well have been expressing his opinion, but the bottom line was, he got fired for that. They didn't even hesitate. This, what bothers me most about the point where I had to do something and present this, pardon, was the fact that no one else had said anything.
And well, I think our black leadership, I'm been saying this for the past three years too, our black leadership, because Mr. Obama is in the White House, they think, well, we can sit back and relax. No, you can't. No, you see, that's the problem we have here. We're assuming that Mr. Obama's going to do all he did, and he can't do anything.
I agree. And that is why we can't wait, though, Gary. We can't wait on folks to do stuff. There are sometimes you just have to get off your butt and do, because either folks are afraid or they don't care or they think that you don't care. And I know there have got to be at least 100 people who care enough about this where they want the check and balance restored so that the Onions of the world or whatever media entity will think twice before they say something as irresponsible as that.
Well, I am appalled at the Congressional Black Caucus, because ever since 1999, because they have done absolutely nothing in 1999. All they do is make their seats warm.
Yeah.
And they have done absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And they think because Obama's in the White House, they get a free ride. We watched the Republican Party last week at their CPAC meeting.
Uh-huh.
Okay, they get ready to attack us again next year. Trump 2014 is gonna be one of the ugliest campaigns you've ever seen in American history. I'm telling you now, ladies and gentlemen, beware, because the Republican Party is out for blood. They're out for blood in 2014.
Gary, you know what? You know, you're not even half wrong. You are 1,000% right. This is going to be Dick Dastardly, down and dirty. And here's the really insidious part about all of this. It's just a further perpetuation of the Republican game plan.
Yep.
When they realized that the president was going to get reelected, you know, they didn't have any moment where they were going to have a come-to-Jesus moment and say, look, let's just get this thing done and work together. No. They decided to continue to stall and delay. They delayed all his appointments. They made arguments against Hagel and others who were going to be part of his cabinet. And they're deliberately doing this, and they're doing it on taxpayer money. You know, again, they're trying to repeal the Affordable Care Act for like the 35th, 36th time. It's unbelievable the level of duplicity and just outright evil these cats are trying to inflict upon all American citizens. And, you know, 2014, by that time, we're talking about a situation that's akin to how it was in Hong Kong when it was going to be converted to Chinese rule.
Yeah.
All the perpetrators looted the place and took as much cash and stole as much stuff as they could so, you know, they could split the scene. You know, and then once the Chinese had rule of Hong Kong again, you know, they were meant to fend for themselves. But the cupboards were looted. I say this with some conviction because I lived in Vancouver during that transition time, and I can tell you a whole lot of stuff that came to British Columbia
after
that thing happened like that. But the point is, all this is just stall tactics. They're working the clock, and Americans are suffering for it. Because they're not trying to get anything done. They're not trying to do anything about infrastructure. They're not, in spite of the fact that they know that bridges have already fallen and that more could fall, they're not trying to do anything about that. This is deliberate. You know, and the longer that they can stall, you know, that handful of perpetrators will leave with all the loot they can carry and we'll be left with the bare bones of it. Don't be surprised, and I'm saying this now on your show for the first time because I didn't get to say it on mine. Don't be surprised if you hear in the next year or two about companies that are trying to go into the business of disaster relief. They are trying to privatize every aspect of what we do and how we do so that people will be made perfectly helpless. You know, if you're not part of the elite, if you're one of those feudal serfs, you know, you are, you know what, out of luck. And they want to make sure it's going to stay that way for a very long time. So everything that you said, 2014, if there's never a time where you've been apathetic about voting or whatever, 2014 is the time where you better get up and you better say something because they will get you. And this coming election, these midterm elections, are going to make the difference between us surviving or us dying as a nation. Not backed up the president are just as compliant, if not more so, because they are covert in what they're doing.
Yeah.
At least with the
yeah.
Republicans, you know what they're trying to do. I mean, they're overt in every aspect of what they want and what they're trying to get away with.
Yeah.
You know, the ones in the Democrats who sit behind and let this nonsense carry on like they do,
yeah.
you know, in many ways, they're worse. And the fact that all of this time has gone on and so much could have been done for veterans, for women,
over
school kids, for regular working class folks, you know, it's been all chop blocked because these dick dastardlies are sitting there knowing that they can get away with this, stall as much as they possibly can, and they're doing this on our dime, on taxpayer dime.
Yep.
And that's the most infuriating aspect of all.
Yep. My
Have
friend,
fun, Gary.
My friend Michael Lewis and Grover, Soul Train on the Raw, got into this program 11 a.m. on Pacific and 1, 2 on the East. This guy brings it right.
Thank you, guys, and please, if you agree with the concept of the petition, please go on the Soul Tree Radio page on Facebook and sign. Thank you very much, and have a great weekend.
All right, thank you, Michael. Hey, what's going on, man? All right, Mr. 707.
Well, 707, you and Michael had quite a roll there. Are you ready to continue, or do you need to break and go drink the water
take,
there?
I'm gonna bring you in the right way. You got to do it the right way, right?
All righty. Michael, I mean, you really went from sports into politics, and that's your prerogative, so I got a tough act to follow here.
Yeah.
I want to talk about a couple of things. One, I'd like to talk about disabled access to sports arenas.
Mm.
And I know you've had a problem in the past week with a company in Berkeley called Wheelchairs of Berkeley.
Do we need to go into that?
Oh, well, have you already discussed it on the show?
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, the problem, as I understand it, is that we see a shift in demographics where an aging population who would otherwise be confined to wheelchairs is now going into these little kind of scooter things.
Yep.
And that's a developing market where, you know, and in fact, I've even seen, odd kind of commercials, senior citizens wearing tie-dye T-shirts.
That's right.
And, you know, and the ad would say, well, you know, you never slowed down, so why slow down now? And you see this, you know, senior citizen in a tie-dye T-shirt in this little scooter.
And one company is under investigation in Texas for false advertising. They have got people buying these scooters and not servicing the scooters as they get them.
And I think what we see is a shift in the marketplace here, where these scooters are now displacing wheelchairs, and there are folks who need wheelchairs.
Yeah, in the coming years, it's gonna be a growing concern for people who are. Cognitive disabilities, as far as aging disabilities, they're very different. Because with your cognitive disabilities, you cannot move, or you move very limited movement.
Right.
Whereas senior citizens' disability is different.
They
can get around, but they're limited. They can't go farther places.
Now, I think in the 80s we saw sort of a high tide of disabled activism, which resulted in, you know, what we've seen around the country with curb cuts and and buses that are disabled accessible and stadiums that are disabled accessible. Let's confine it just to the sports arena here. Do you see that there's less emphasis now within sports arenas of handicapped access?
Well, no, I see it more. Every new building by government ordered it to have 10% of their building to be invisible for every 10 seats. Every 150, 200 seats, you had to have one disabled seating. Yeah, it's 101.
Right. Now, are the seats that a disabled person gets, are they of equal vantage point?
Some are, some are not. It depends on where it was built, what company built it, who designed it.
Right.
The best design I see was the old Gundam Arena in New Jersey. That was one of the better disabled seating parameters. You had to see every 30 or 40 feet there was a disabled seat. That was one of the most, I was really impressed with the New Jersey Nets and the New Jersey Devils disabled seating program.
Now, the Nets, of course, have moved to Brooklyn, and the Devils have moved to Newark. Is that correct?
Yeah, in the city now.
Yeah. What's happening with that old arena?
They tore it down.
Ah. The issue with wheelchairs at Berkeley, is that something worth revisiting here?
We can.
I know you've had a problem, and you know, it's really a very local problem, and it's local to the city of Berkeley, and it's local to you,
right,
where you had some difficulty getting your wheelchair replaced,
right,
or repaired. And I know you've been trying to turn the direction of the Grey Leopard Cove into not just a sports talk show,
right,
but also to address issues of social concern, which
yes,
I think you and Michael were really doing quite forcefully there.
Yes.
The problem that you've encountered with wheelchairs at Berkeley, do you think it has a greater national perspective?
It may have. But what I've noticed the past 2 or 3 years in that store is one, lack of employment in that store. Number two, my advice to them, number one is to get an African American on their staff. Number two is to get a disabled person on their staff, because you get more different ideas, different aspects of disability when you have a variety of staff workers in your building.
Right.
We also Berkeley is trying to make money. I understand that. But when you do certain things to undermine your net growth, people can see that. And when people begin to see it, they're not going to come back to you again.
Well, I think the problem is, and this is kind of a, you know, again, it's a social and a business economic issue, is that right now it's the only wheelchair company in the city of Berkeley?
Yeah, there's another one. It's like underground. And I wonder if they are accredited, the other one. If you're not accredited and you get a wheelchair fit there, you have a problem legally, if you get an accident.
Right. Because Berkeley really was, the city of Berkeley and an organization called Center for Independent Living was really the flagship in many ways for the disabled access movement.
Well, what happened was when the Terminator Man Living closed their wheelchair repair, it was the beginning of trouble. I think it was the beginning of trouble all over the Bay Area. Because wheelchair repair had a very decent wheelchair repair service. It would come pick the chair up, they would work on it immediately and bring it back to you within 1 or 2 or 3 days. 3 days at the most. Now, with the current situation, they pick it up when they want to, if they want to, and bring it back to you whenever they get ready.
Right.
Now, as a disabled person, that is a health risk. Some people need that wheelchair to relieve pressure on certain parts of the body.
Right.
Now, you're saying, like, example, my chair broke again on Friday. I called it Friday morning. They said, we'll get to you Monday afternoon, Tuesday morning. Now, what does that mean? That means I have to be out here Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. As we do it again. With health issues at the forefront. Now, if you are in the industry, you should know these things. You should know the health risk. You should understand the health complexities of the situation. It seems to me they did not, and they did not care. That's the problem I have with the situation.
Yeah. And my sense, you know, and certainly raises a concern, is my sense of it, is that there's some internal problems with the company in terms of staffing and, you know, allocation of resources. I mean, lots of companies, you know, I mean, we just read, you know, the business pages, you know, any time, you know, major companies have major problems, and small companies have major problems of staffing and funding and cash flow and things like that. But I think, you know, even if a company is making its best efforts and still encountering these various problems, it does have a more significant impact on their client base, which is the handicapped population.
Art, if you buy a business, isn't it wise to do the homework before you buy a business?
Well, yeah, but many people don't. You look at, you know, just, you know, you look at the number of vacant storefronts across the face of the United States, and, you know, all of those businesses, you know, people started them with good hopes, and they went out of business.
But if you go into a specific business, I would not go into aerodynamics industry. I don't know anything about aerodynamics. Why would I buy an aerodynamic store? I don't know anything about it.
Right.
And see, this is what I think happened to the store. I think the owner or owners or whatever got in this business and did not do their homework. And when they got in there, oh my God, what do we have here? So what did they do? The first thing they did was cut. Major mistake. Second thing they do, they sold the owner's wheelchair. Second mistake. They're making a mistake. So now they're in a position where nobody's happy. I mean, nobody's happy with this company. Because they don't understand. They're working with a community, and the community needs a service that is on their time, not business time. Okay? Wheelchair repair is a serious business. You don't do it on 9 to 5. It doesn't work.
Yeah, maybe you have to think of it more of as like, you know, a paramedic company that's on call 24/7.
What, say again?
Maybe one would have to think of it as being like a paramedic company that's on call 24/7.
Correct. Because if this individual has only a power jet and no other jet, what does he do?
Right.
And you're going 9 to 5, and you need about a second to get out of there, and you gotta go back. In the old days, they would work on Saturdays. Half a day. They don't do that anymore.
Right.
On real emergency, they would come out on Sunday. From 12 to 12 to 4. They don't do that anymore.
Right. Well, I think you've raised some issues here, and, you know, of course, this is an international internet radio talk show that is focusing on, you know, this local problem in the local city of Berkeley, and I know you have a lot of handicapped listeners really throughout the world.
All over the world, yeah.
And, you know, they may be encountering similar problems, so this topic may be of great interest to them, and... And perhaps, you know, it may stimulate them to action in their local community, or Wheelchairs of Berkeley may be inundated with calls from around the world that may, you know, so it's what we're acting, what's the phrase?
Well,
think globally, act locally. So
yeah.
It may be that we're acting globally to get a result here locally.
Look, I am not against the employees of Wheelchairs of Berkeley. I am against the thing they put in there. There was no reason for that system to work because you can't work it that way. This is based on emergency. If I call you my chair is out,
what?
I need that chair for 24, 48 hours.
What?
Not 1 week or 2 weeks.
Right.
It doesn't work.
Right. Right. Hey, let me change gears and get back to sports if I can. A thing that has kind of caught my interest is the number of people who are leaving the two teams that were in the Super Bowl, the San Francisco 49ers and the Baltimore Ravens. And and people coming, we see Charles Woodson coming from the Packers now to the Raiders, to the Niners. Is that a signal that Randy Moss's days are numbered?
Well, Randy Moss is already gone.
He is gone. He was on a one-year contract.
He's already gone.
And how did he deal with that?
He was gone at the end of the season. He was gone.
Without a word.
Yeah, well, everybody knew that.
And did Randy know that?
Everybody knew that. Okay.
Including Randy.
Yeah.
Because he's not one to leave quietly.
No, younger Randy, yeah. Older Randy is different. Younger Randy was Randy the Rave. Older Randy knows what you have. My thing with the NFL, this is where I go crazy with the NFL. When a player wants money, people scream. Right? Now, when an owner cuts a player, nobody says a word. Example. Mrs. Smith. Quarterback for the Niners, we're going to cut him. Everybody knew that, right? What does Smith do? He goes to Kansas City. Everybody's happy. And Ron Bolton goes from Baltimore and San Francisco. Everybody's happy. But when a player like Flacco, Flacco is a good quarterback, right? But for him to do what he did was ridiculous. He's the highest paid quarterback in the league. Now, why do you think New England wins all the time? Because Tom Brady understands the game. When he gets a contract, he takes the contract year to year to get players. Flacco could have saved him, but he did not do it. So what a boy had to do, he had to sell the players to get the money.
Right.
That's football.
The other thing it occurs to me that some of these players, you know, I mean, it was like with the Niners, it was like some of these guys like couldn't wait to get out of town. But I wondered, you know, some of the names, Ricky Jean-Francois was one, and there are three or four other players that were in, like in a hot rush to leave. And I wonder if, you know, once you get to the Super Bowl, you've sort of proven your merit or your pedigree, and now... you know, you would think on the one hand you would want to keep that team together and players would want to stay. On the other hand, you've established your merit and now you can go get paid somewhere else.
And that's what it's about. Go get paid somewhere else. If the owner can do it, why can't the players do it?
Right. Right. But it kind of flies in the face of that team concept, and I know it is a business. We see the San Francisco Giants, you know, World Series champion, pretty much keeping that team intact.
Stop right there. Baseball and football are different animals. Baseball, it takes a unit to win. Football, you have one, two, three stars, you win. Baseball, you can't do that. You have to have a good third baseman. You have to have a good first baseman. You have to have a great pitching staff. You have to have a great center fielder and catcher. Football, and you have one guy on defense, good defensive one guy on offense, and decent quarterback, you win. Very different.
Well, as usual, Gary, excellent analysis. I've got nothing to say. You've educated me. You've shut me up.
No, baseball.
You know, I got to say, man, that, you know, that's a funny way to run a sports talk show when you leave your listener speechless.
Sorry, dude. Sorry. Well, no, I used to get upset with guys leaving teams to get money. I start looking at what the owners are doing.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let me give you an example. The Chicago Cubs. When did that time the Chicago Cubs won the World Series?
I can't remember.
1919.
It's before my time.
Okay. Now, this Chicago Cubs ownership and they don't lose money. All right? Why are fans going to see a losing team year after year after year? Okay? The owners are making money. So, in 1980, 1981, 1982, fans said, we're not going to the game anymore. So, it made the owners spend money. 1984, 85, 86, the Cubs were in the playoffs because they spent money to get a team. Here we go again. It's the 2000s. We're the Cubs, last place. They made $8 million last year. My question to you. I was the last place team. Mean, they got money.
Well, revenue sharing, and it remains, you know, that team remains primary in the hearts of Chicago baseball fans.
But a fan needs hope. a man needs dreams. Chicago ain't gonna win a championship.
No, but somehow it's, you know, there's a particular psychology of the Chicago Cubs fan where they support the team without hope. I mean, it's a lovable loser.
The owners, use that to their advantage. Now, you let the Yankees do what happens.
Right. Well, yeah, different history, though, because the Yankees have a tradition of winning. The Cubs have a tradition of losing that the fans have embraced.
And like I said earlier in my show, hour ago, in football, every third of the season, every team, except for very few, every team has a chance to win the Super Bowl. In football, you can't say that about the World Series of Baseball. It ain't gonna happen.
Right. Hey, quickly, before your show runs out of time, what do you think of the World Baseball Classic that's been happening?
The United States should be ashamed of itself. We are the creator of baseball, and we can't win the championship. This is the third time now, and we have not won the championship.
I mean, who's on our team?
That's the problem.
I mean, why don't we have the best players on our team? I mean, other than players who are, you know, from other countries.
And you know why? You know why we don't?
Why?
Because you have owners that you can't go. Because I pay your salary, you can't go.
But they don't say that to the players from other teams.
Yeah, but they're not Americans. They're not Americans. They go where we go.
I see.
The American team had to make a dedication, a determination to win this. Until you get that, it ain't gonna happen.
I mean, the American team was beaten by the Dominican Republic this week, correct?
They beat by Puerto Rico, too.
Huh.
I mean, this team did not be losing to the DR or Puerto Rico. Or Cuba.
Well, it must have been ecstatic for those countries to thump on the U.S. of A., huh?
They can't wait. It's their dream to beat Americans.
Right.
And the Americans are dumb for letting it happen.
Right.
Right. They never to lose a championship like that. We are the creators of baseball.
Right.
And that tells me where baseball is going. Nobody cares.
Although attendance is at all-time highs.
Yeah, over in the DR?
No, here in the U.S. I think baseball's numbers over the past years have been, you know, all-time highs, the number of tickets sold.
Because foreign nationals want to see their team. Like, in San Francisco, when Taiwan plays here and Japan plays here, you watch, it's going to be jam-packed. See, baseball is on its deathbed. If they don't get rid of Bud Dillick soon, baseball can disappear from America's sports scene. It's dying. Baseball is a slow death.
Gary, but you say that, but again, the point that I keep coming back to is that ticket sales are at an all-time high.
Because there are more Americans alive. There are more population has increased. But overall, it's lower than it ever was.
Huh.
There are more of us. That's why more of us going. There are more of us.
Huh.
But in reality, people do not care about anybody anymore.
Yeah. Hey, how long is the show going today? Is it going past 3 o'clock?
Well, It was 90 minutes, but we're going to go way over that now.
And are you continuing on?
Yeah, I'm going to go until I get cut off.
Okay, because, and I guess with the network will cut you off, because I didn't want to keep talking. I thought you may have some points in conclusion you want to make before you do get cut off, if you're going to get cut off.
I do want to get into the HBCU basketball before I get out of here.
Okay, well, I'm going to let you go.
All right.
And keep talking until they pull the plug.
Yeah, it might be very soon, too.
All righty, take care.
Thank you. All right, thank you, Art. Until I was 7, I'll be taken to, take a break here before I do that. Get a break here. be drowning? When did the war in 1987? And then there was to be tons, 107.94 last night. Oklahoma City continued to roll as they beat Orlando, 117.09. Kevin Durant, 28 points. Houston continued to play a role. And Dane Harden get 32 points as the Houston Rockets beat Minnesota 108-100. Cleveland loses to Dallas Mavericks. By Boros scored 18 points. Miami scored 21. Denver Nuggets beat Memphis, Dallas and Memphis Grizzlies 14-game win streak. We win 87-80. Golden State Warriors lose, got bombed by Chicago. McCullough Booster, 21 points. Chicago 113. Golden State 95. And Golden State is clinging to a dangerous 8th spot in the West. I hope they get it. We will see as time goes on. That's the NHL report. NBA reporting. We move on to the NHL. Very short schedule for the NHL. 3 games, that'll be real quick. The Flyers give out the floor. And the Flyers beat my New Jersey Devils 2-1 in a shootout. The Detroit Red Wings beat the Edmonton Oilers 3-2 at Pavlo Drysdale get the winning score. And the Calgary Flames, my Canadian team, Calgary 6, Nashville 3. And they try to get to the playoffs. They got the hockey for today. A full schedule today. Take your local listening for your local team in your local area. Okay, my Stars of the Week, number 3, Senator Goldie. Niner, who could not beat Ross, now with 33 shots at Boston's victory over Ottawa on Tuesday. Number 2 goal is St. Louis, Jake Allen Goldie, beat the San Jose Sharks, 42 shots, 39 shots, as the Blues beat the Sharks, 42. My number one goal, my number one star for the week is Columbus Blue Jackets goalie Bobrovsky. Saved 39 shots, and he beat goal brother Ray Emery and the Blackhawks 2-1 on Thursday night. There you go, NHL. PGA, Tiger Woods. Got hot as he win the Gallagher Championship last week by 3 strokes, and he's closing in on Roy McIlroy number 1, and McIlroy did not get a top 5 seed, and Woods get top 5, he'll be number 1 at the end of the weekend. In ranking, number 1 Roy McIlroy hesitated, number 2 Tiger Woods. Ain't 1 point behind Roy McIlroy. Luke Donald from England is third, way behind. Brandon Snedeker is farther behind, number 4. Dustin Rose, number 5. And then you got top 5 in golf. PBA, the Pro Bowlers Association, will be in Franklin, Virginia, we behave with the pregnant South Open in tennis. PBS Rev is open at Indian Wells, California. The two ladies, the two blonde bombshells, my body meaty dinner, Maria Zarapova, a guy who was nagging, my body meat, and somebody got win. They can't blow a major, so nobody got win this thing. Nadal meets Beatrice and Yankovic beat the Pedro in the men's finals today and tomorrow, with the finals on Sunday. IRL, they get their motor started this weekend at Australian Grand Prix. NASCAR. Now, I don't know what you know about NASCAR, but Danica Patrick, once again, did not do well. And look, this lady had to win a race before she becomes enough of the talk, win a race. Last week, Sam Horace won the Sandow 300. And Matt Kenseth wins the Copa 400 in Las Vegas on his 41st birthday. Now he's got to change the heart. They didn't change the name of the NRA 400 thing. Why is the decision? This week they're in Bristol, Tennessee, with Bristol Motor Speedway 500. The 50-500. Well, I hope you enjoy the show. We had three great guests. I want you to sign the petition. My co-cameraman, sign the petition on Soul Dragon Raw or Michael Lewis' Facebook page. He needs 20 more. I know the co-cameraman can get 20 more signatures. So let's get to that. It'll be a nice issue. When a writer can call a little kid that name, it's outright disgusting. He should be fired for doing what he did. And we all know what's going to happen. It will go on and keep writing and nobody will notice. All right, go to the website. And do it. At www.backaddy.com and get a different look at sports. I think, tell me Reggie Alpro, WCM, 1450, Michael Ingram, Joseph Radio Raw, Ambassador Band.biz. Can't forget Pat Freeman, the Mighty Oba, on 1080 WUFO, Buffalo, New York. And of course, our esteemed leader, Roy Rogers, VS in New York City, New York. And Doreen Wade, New England Forum Magazine, Boston, Massachusetts. And last, Nehemiah Bruce Ruggin. I was saying, I gotta tell you, this is for a slumping basketball team in Madison Square Garden. You know who they are. They wear orange and gold, orange and blue. They play in Madison Square Garden. They pretend to be the New York Knicks. I don't know who they are, but this week. And they lose 4 games in a row. And a horrible road trip. Maybe this will help them. Maybe this will help them. I don't know.
Let's go, baby.
Good night.